Welcome to City League Sports. I am your host, Vincent Clarino, and today we are joined by an extremely special, I'm giving out three specials, guest, Jessica Davenport, the legend, Independence High School, Ohio State. Jessica, say hello to all the listeners and everybody out there that is watching us.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for checking in. Appreciate it.
Certainly. Jessica, we're going to dive into just like all of your world, as much as I was able to dig up all the good and fun stuff, and really just be able to share part of your story and your journey with, you know, essentially all of the listeners here in Central Ohio, everybody around the state of Ohio that tunes into and follows you. We're going to let them get a glimpse at all of your wonderfulness, right?
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited to do that.
Okay. And I'm gonna put this term out there because, you know, some of the staff they'll you know, if you ever talk to them again, I'm kind of stingy with words. But I'm going to put a word out there for you. I'm about to put the word legend on top of your name, right? Because you truly, yes, indeed. Well, you truly are a legend in City League sports and even at Ohio State, right? I spoke to your former high school basketball coach. Right, Coach Spencer, and we give shout outs. So shout out to Coach Spencer, right? We give shout outs on the show. And Coach Spencer shared with me a few tidbits, but one of the things was he said that, like, coming in your ninth grade year, tell everybody a little bit about kind of, you know, you starting off and playing basketball, and where were you at as a 14-year-old ninth grader, and how did you kind of feel? Because I'm interested to see what your perspective is on that whole beginning of your time period at Independence High School.
For sure. Ninth grade years, I was pretty raw looking back, like just thinking about where my game has like transcended to when I retired to when I first started. But I really just came in with an open mind. Like, I enjoyed playing basketball. It wasn't about, you know, oh, I'm trying to get, you know, seen by this school or this school. Like, I truly enjoyed playing basketball. And so once tryouts came along, I had a lot of friends who went to Independence with me. And so it was just kind of like, all right, tryouts are here, made the varsity team. And then every day it was just like, okay, I get to hang out with my friends and go to practice and we play games. Like, this is life right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
So from there, right, and one of the things that Coach Spencer shared is that, like he said, in your 10th grade year, he started to really see you develop and have a love for the game. He gave the caterpillar to butterfly analogy, right? And just said that he could really start to see you grasping, you know, the excitement, the love for the game, and really starting to also understand that maybe you're pretty good. So when do you think you started to fall in love with basketball? And when did you find out, like, I'm Jessica Davenport, like, I can play? Like when did you find that out also, right? And I don't know if that was in high school or not, but just when did you fall in love with it? And when did you find out, like, Jessica Davenport's in the house, I've arrived? Like, when did you find that out?
The moment I think I found out that I arrived is probably just like on the AAU circuit, just like going to games and you just see coaches lined up around the whole gym, the perimeter of our games. And so I think that's one of the moments where I realized, like, this is something that I could use to go to school and get it paid for.
Nice.
And then just understanding, like, we had some really good players back in the day. It wasn't just the Jessica Davenport show. We had some other bigs, Brittany Hunter over at Brookhaven.
Yeah.
She was someone else who was, like, really good to play against. And so it was fun. I mean, we just had a ball. I don't want to say I felt like it was, like I said, it wasn't the Jessica Davenport show because we had other big girls to play against. And so it was we were competing, you know, in high school and AAU, and that's just what I was used to playing against. So I think the competition from the City League was what helped me propel me for college and beyond.
Nice. So you kind of skipped past it, though. I want to know, when did you fall in love with the game? Yeah, I heard you say my game. You was talking a little bit. I saw the shoulders move. So I need to know, when did you fall in love with the game, right? When did you realize, like, this is a really important part of what I'm doing and who I am? When did that occur for you?
That was from the start.
I started
playing in seventh grade. Yeah. The reason I tried out for basketball, obviously, was because I was tall and they asked me. So I was like, sure.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, just like just like understanding and competing, that's something like once I got a taste of that, because I had never played organized sports before seventh grade. So once I got a taste of that, I was just like, this is what I live for. I love competing. Ooh. I love the team aspect of everything. And so the getting better and becoming one of the best players was like the cherry on top. Just like that aspect of just playing basketball was like number one for me. And that's all I did.
Nice. Okay. Okay. Well, and I like to share this because I'm a basketball guy myself. And one of the things that we talk about in the sport, and you've heard this yourself, is that bigs often get invited, right? Because like you said, you know, you're tall and you're big in the sport of basketball. People say, hey, come on, you should play. But not everyone becomes Jessica Davenport. There are plenty of extremely tall people out there, right, that are women and have dibbled and stuck their toe in the water, but they didn't become you. But you know what I mean? So, like, I'm going to give you a whole lot more credit maybe than, like, because, yeah, that's nice you were tall, but you also put in the work. And so share with people, like, back then when you were growing up and you were playing, What did it feel like? Like, did you feel like you were putting in work, or was it just, I just want to be in the gym and I want to play? And then through the process, you were getting better. What was that like?
It was just like, I want to be in the gym. It became one of those things where it's all I know, like go to school, go to practice, do your homework, go home. And so I really enjoyed the aspect of competing. I think it really helped that I had really good teammates, and I'm still pretty good friends with all of those from seventh grade
on. Give them some love. You can say their names on here. Give whoever you want some love.
Play with Ashley Vance. She ended up going to Walnut Ridge. Tina.
Huff.
I just blanked that quick. But Tina.
What was Tina's last name? Was it Huff?
Tina Huff. Yes, yeah. I blanked that.
Okay.
Seventh grade. Angel Hornsberger, Takiya Reed.
Yes, indeed.
Those people who we just been playing together for so long. And I think just even like in like regular work, if you enjoy the people who you're working with, you don't feel like it's working. So that's kind of the mentality that I had. It's just like, these are some of my good friends and we're just out here having fun. I think that's just really when I fell in love with it. And then through that repetition of always being in the gym, competing against each other, but then with that mindset of I want to be the best I can be, just getting better in the process.
Nice. So let me share, right, to give us our own 6 degrees of separation. I was a teacher at Walnut Ridge when Ashley Vance came through. And so I know the Vances. I know her. I coach her older brother, Ricky, whose son right now, Ricky's son is playing at Duquesne, which is my alma mater. That's where I played at. So his son is playing at Duquesne, which is nice. I had no idea you were going to say Ashley's name. The Vance. Vances, right? We'll give them a little bit of love here. The Vances are some of my favorite people, their family. Obviously, I know mom and dad, but it's nice to hear, right, that like that's a part of your circle. So I want to go back to some time in high school, City League basketball. You spoke to competition. I'm going to put out a couple of games, right? I'm going to talk about a couple of games. So so I'm going to go with your junior year district finals. You're playing against Pickerington. Do you remember anything from the Pickerington district final game your junior year?
Yeah, playing against Packer, who I ended up playing against at Ohio State, and then Jenna Schoen hit a buzzer beater and beat us.
By one point.
I remember that.
Certainly.
That was tough.
Yeah. Those are like sometimes the worst ones where you battle back and forth and then somebody gets a chance to throw up a shot, right, and it goes in. Because you hate for it to end that way. So then you come back your senior year. Obviously, you're an all-league player. You know, you're now you're really blowing up, right? Like you're an all-American. You're an all-league player. And then I'm gonna throw two games out at the same time. You say whatever you want, but you played Mifflin in the City League Championship that year.
Yeah.
Yeah, you played Mifflin that year. I'm trying to force that memory, right? I'm trying to put some of that back into your mind. And then you ended up playing Brookhaven that year in the district championship. So those were two tough games that year that you had as a senior. And just like you shared, spoke to the nature of the City League. So does anything jump out about any of the teams, the players, just when you were competing? I know you mentioned Brittany, but does anything else jump out at you about some of those experiences?
Yeah, let's see. I know Marche Dotson was at Mifflin. Mm-hmm. She's a little younger than I is and ended up playing at Florida.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the North was tough.
Right, right.
Brookhaven and Mifflin, they were pretty tough to play against. So I think we lost to Brookhaven like every time we played
them. There you go. Okay, okay. That's okay. That's okay.
Yeah, but Coast Lee had a very tough and well-coached team. So I do remember that. Any specifics around like
No, you don't got to give us specifics. We just having fun. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, but it was interesting to see, like you shared, because at the time there were so many young women like yourself who were excelling on the court. And so here you are, you're a local kid, right? I'm speaking back to that time, right? You're a local kid, you're at Independence High School. And so like you shared, you're AAU and coaches are everywhere. So everyone wants you. How do you and your family, your support system, how do you arrive at Ohio State? And what was that like for you as a process, as a kid and being an All-American? What was that like for if you could share some of that with us?
Yeah, I wanted to stay home. Mm. Fortunately, I had the opportunity to choose from a number of schools that I wanted to play at. But having the opportunity to stay home and have my family be able to come and watch all the home games, you know, this basketball is such a small world where everyone just knows each other. And so those same people who were coming to those high school games are the same people who are going to those Ohio State games and still go there. And so I just really wanted to have that support system with me. And coming in, Coach Foster was a year in. You know, I knew he was going to change the program around. They had a really good post coach in Pete Gaudette, who I felt that I could really excel under. And so it was almost a no-brainer to me. I think people were kind of surprised that I didn't go to a UConn or that was like 39-0 or Dukes or, you know, schools of that nature or Stanford. But I saw value in being able to stay home and try to do something for the city.
Nice. Well, you did a lot for the city, right? And you did a lot for OSU women's basketball because so you arrive at Ohio State. You're Big Ten freshman of the year, right? And then you have something, from what I understand, that has not been duplicated yet. You go three straight years as the Big Ten player of the year. Right. So just give us whatever OSU life, love stories you want to give. I mean, that in itself just speaks to how dominant you were. So give us a little bit of that. You know what I mean? Like that's amazing.
Yeah, it was fun. I think it was almost like that same approach that I took in high school. Like, I'm just going to go in the gym and work every day. And so from that aspect, I feel like basketball took care of itself because I knew I was there to, one, get my degree and then, two, be the best I could be under those coaches. But just like traveling to new places, like getting that exposure to play against the best players in the country and just elevating that program to something that, you know, had been a little bit dormant for a little while, but okay, we came in and, you know, was able to, you know, get some national spotlight on the program and say that, you know, we have something that, you know, is special here. And so it was fun, just like I said, from the travel to the people who we were hanging around. And even though I, you know, was at Ohio State, it felt like I was away because campus was so, you know, insulated in itself. I still had my own world and I was able to grow and just make new friends and all that good stuff. It was just a solid experience that not too many people get to experience.
Nice. Well, so like you gave a surface level. I want to talk a little basketball right now. Like, I mean, like, I don't know if you recognize it, but obviously if you're freshman of the year or if you're player of the year in any conference, that means you just flat out balling. So do you remember in your mind, like, do you look back and go, I was out there giving it to people? Like, is that a part of your memory? Like, and it's okay to brag on yourself, right? Like, is that a part of your memory? I'm just curious.
Hindsight, it is. I think when I was playing, it was just like that. The confidence that I had wasn't like, I'm out here to, like, I'm the best. I'm just going to show you I'm the best. Like, I was never like a big talker, like been talking trash. I'm just like, whoever I'm playing against, my mindset was that I want them to be talking about me after the game.
Ooh, hold on. Hold on. You got to say that twice. You do that is like a podcast rule. Say that again. You said after the game, you want what?
After the game, I want them to be talking about me and no one else. Ooh. And so that was my mindset. Just like whatever I needed to do to show like that I was the best. And it wasn't about words. It was about just showing it. And so I think that I just built that into my mind that, you know, game after game, even if we were playing someone that we were supposed to win. I want them to understand, like, you know, this is why we're supposed to win.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So
right.
It was just fun. I think it was all about a mindset, and it was just like, I don't know. I don't really think of it as hard. It was hard work, but I never thought of it as like draining. Like, it was fun. Like,
you enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it. Like, nice. I enjoyed that competition. And it was just like every game was a new opportunity to prove myself that, you know, I'm Jessica Davenport for a reason, and I play well, and this is what Ohio State basketball is about.
I love that. And I want, for all of the young people out there listening, high school, college, if it's a middle school kid that snuck off and got their parents' tablet or cell phone and you're listening to the show, I want you all to understand what you just said. Like, that's high level, high competitive thinking, leadership at its best, where you say, like I want you after the game to know, right? Like you were in it, because, you know, you see kids today, and a lot of them like to talk, and they're out there. And even when I watch games, and I've seen more than I, you know what I mean? Like, I've forgotten more games than I can actually recall, right? And I see kids, and I'm going, like, dude, you out there talking, you got 6 points. Like, you ain't allowed to talk that much with 6 points. You know what I mean? Like, you got to go drop 25 on somebody to stick your chest out like that, right? And I think kids need to hear from someone like you who actually was putting in work. The game of basketball now, like gave you so many opportunities. You're a gold medalist. You played in the World Games. So share with us, like, Just like, give us some experiences. We're not getting to the professionals yet. So just give us some experiences while you're in college and you're playing on the national team and those things. Just the opportunities that basketball opened up for you, and just give us a glimpse into your world as a 19, 20-year-old young woman who's going all over the world. Yeah, give us some of that.
It's crazy to think about, because every summer I was doing something. First summer out, I represented the Big Ten. They took two players from each team and went out to Australia for 2 weeks and played in competition over there.
Okay.
The next summer, next two summers, I was able to play for USA basketball. So my sophomore, I believe it was my sophomore year, we played for the World Games out in Turkey. And so we're out in the Olympic Village, you know, with all the other countries competing, playing with all the best players in the country. So we have your Sylvia Fowles, you have your Simone Augustuses, you have your Candice DeFries, just all the best talent in the United States playing on one team. And we won gold. And so that was a really fun experience to just experience that Olympic. It was like the college Olympics. Seeing the teams from, you know, Jamaica and China and Africa, and just seeing people training, like, those are just experiences that you just don't get. And then just doing it in another country where, you know, you just, one thing I will back up, one thing about USA basketball that I really enjoyed is that it wasn't just about basketball. They allowed you to experience the culture that you're in. So just taking trips, different places, and just making sure that, you know, basketball was the focus, but taking advantage of the total opportunity was something that was fun. And so I believe my junior year, I was able to try out, I was in the pool of players for the 08 Olympic team. And so they were, you know, trying to get that team together.
Nice,
and I was one of the post players. So I was there. We went to Italy. I want to say we went to Italy and back to Australia for some competition. And so I'm playing with Katie Smith and Tamika Catchings Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi, just all these great players. And here I am, like this 19-year-old kid still in college trying to find my way, and just getting like these little tidbits from these pros about how to be great. And they're encouraging me to be, you know, the best player that I could be. So those are just experiences that I will not forget, because they just don't come around often. Yeah.
Not only do they not come around often, but they are rewarded for those that put in the work, right? So here you are, you're this young lady, Columbus, Ohio, Independence, and then basketball, and what you put into it gives you this global experience, and it helps, you know what I mean? Like at some point when you put in the work and show the love, it almost begins to define you, right? So now you go from just being Jessica around your house, and then when you're outside, like everyone, you're Jessica Davenport, the hooper, the baller, the game, right? And all of those things. So we talked about, like, you know, Ohio State, you know, you're three-time player of the year. when I was reading that, like, you know, a week or so ago, because I knew you had game, right? Like, I knew you could play. But, you know, if you're not really following someone, you don't really know all of their accolades. And, like, I'm reading this list of stuff, and it's almost like, what didn't Jessica do, right? Like, you did it all, right? And so here you are. You had this phenomenal high school career, All-American, phenomenal college career at OSU. And so then now it's time for you to transcend and have options, right? Obviously, from a professional standpoint, and so you learn the business very quickly, right? That's something that people talk about because I don't know if everyone knows, but you get drafted by San Antonio, right? Isn't that your draft pick? And then you turn around and they trade your rights to the Liberty, and everyone knows you obviously for playing in New York. So share with me just draft and let me say this, right? Because I'm gonna back up myself. I'm even doing this with my hands to back up a little bit. That number two overall pick. Right. Like, I mean, you know, so obviously others valued and recognized what you put in your work. So just give us some behind the scenes about leading into the draft, the selection, those things, and what that experience was like.
Yeah. So coming in, I knew I was going to be one of the top picks, but I didn't know exactly where I would fall. And so the draft was in Cleveland because at the time they would have the draft at the same place as the Final Four. So It was in Cleveland. Family was able to come. And so I remember like a day or two before just like meeting my agent in person that I had finally decided to go with. So we had lunch and then he was like, I want you to meet someone. And so I met with the GM of the New York Liberty and their head coach. And so just being totally unaware, I didn't really think anything of it. I'm just like, oh, they just want to talk and, you know, I'm just meeting new people.
Right,
and so draft day comes that morning. I have media in the morning. I go to that. We go to like, I believe it was in a hotel. And so we're like in hair and makeup and doing all that stuff, just kind of waiting for the draft to start. And Lindsey Harding out of Duke goes number one to Phoenix. They call my name. Second, I go to San Antonio. And so I'm like walking up to the stage and the San Antonio coach is there. And I like shake his hand, but he just like walks past me. So I'm like, dang, this is kind of weird.
Okay,
so I go up there and I hold up my jersey, take a picture with the commissioner. And then I'm going back to do my media. And so like maybe like 5 minutes into media, they're like, you got traded to New York. So I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to New York. I'm going to San Antonio. Now I'm going to New York. So I'm like, who did they trade me for? They traded me for Becky Hammon. So I'm like, wow, you traded me for Becky Hammon, who is, as people know now, was a assistant coach with the Spurs. Now she's coaching the Las Vegas Aces. And so now I'm just going through that process again. Like, okay, now I kind of see like maybe why he did like a flyby, shook my hand and walked.
Right.
The coach, because he knew he was trading me. Yeah, I go to New York. And like you said, the business of basketball kicks in. It was just a different thing. And it was a tough transition because you go from being all world Jessica into you're playing with these people who've been playing professionally for 10, 15 years, like you're playing with grown women. And
right.
So it was definitely a transition period where you learn how to play a role.
Certainly,
you know what I mean?
Certainly.
And so that was, I wouldn't say it was tough for me, but it's an adjustment because what you think you could do, sometimes you're only given 10, 15 minutes to do it. You're not given that 40 minutes that you're given in college. I think that was just something to a new role that I had to learn to dive into. Now that allowed me to see both aspects of it because I'm able to see like 40 minute Jess who's able to do X, Y, and Z. Now you got to condense that because you got to be great in this same amount of time and still having that same mindset and still being that team player. So
I think
going to the pros just really rounded me out into a well-balanced person.
Love it. So non-basketball for a moment, like, you know, the city of New York, do you have fond memories of New York? Like I mean, cause you know, most people, and I've been lucky enough in life. I've been blessed a few times. My mother lived in New York when I was growing up as a kid, so I've been there. But most people who don't have never been in New York, you don't really understand how overwhelming it can be.
It is very overwhelming. Yeah, and I am a small city girl. Like,
okay.
Columbus is
okay.
Not a small city, but I am like a homebody.
Love it.
I like
being
close. And so it was a little overwhelming in the beginning just because we actually, like, the players actually live in White Plains, so you don't live in the city.
Okay.
I don't know if
okay.
they do now. But, so it's like a 45-minute drive plus practice, plus traffic.
Right.
And so I was just like, man, this is inconvenient. I got to leave like an hour or so earlier.
Right,
but
right.
In terms of like the fun stuff, like it is nice to be in a city that never sleeps. And so there's always great restaurants to go to. Mm-hmm, I'm not like mm-hmm. a big club person, so that didn't right, really like
right. appeal to me.
There's right. always right. like show, yeah, there's like shows to go to that I enjoyed going to. Just like people watching if you like to
yeah, 100%. Hey, nothing wrong with people watching, right? Sometimes you pull up on the right bench and the world will give you a show, right? You know what I mean? So I completely get that. So
yeah, but New York was cool though. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. So you know, and so looking at your like your complete body of work and all these experiences, I have to rewind all the way back from when I got one thing I forgot. Coach Spencer wanted me to make sure that I gave you a shout out. He remembered a game, and he said it was your junior year. You had a triple double with block shots, points, rebounds, and blocks. And so he wanted me to get right. So that's one of those ones where, and I don't know if it was your first one or you had a bunch of those, but for people who know basketball, right, triple doubles traditionally don't come with blocks. So on top of you putting a lot of, you know what I mean, getting a lot of buckets, you played defense. And I wanted to give that shout out for Coach Spence because he was very adamant about, you know what I mean, like that piece of it. So you spend your time WNBA, basketball's done all these phenomenal things for you. And I'm going to bring it back to Columbus for a moment before we kind of get into what you're doing now. So Columbus then, you end up in the Ohio High School Athletic Association Hall of Fame. You end up in the OSU Hall of Fame. And so you come back. What did those experiences mean to you? Like, you know what I mean? To come back and be recognized in that fashion.
Yeah, it's almost full circle. For the Ohio State Hall of Fame, I was still playing. And so I was still playing I was in Indiana at the time, playing with the Fever. And so it was just like, it's nice to be recognized while you're still playing.
Nice.
So you're able to enjoy that. But after like having that recognition, after a short amount of time from graduating from college was great. It was just putting a stamp on my Ohio State career. The last thing I'm waiting for, my jersey to get retired.
Come on now. Ohio State University. Hello, 3-time Big Ten Player of the Year. I can say these things for you. You don't have to worry about it. I'll be your cheerleader right now. If I had some pom-poms, I'd be in here doing the pom-poms for you. Come on, Ohio State. But I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
It was just a great experience. Again, just having the family there, being recognized. I couldn't make it to the actual ceremony because we had a game against Minnesota Lynx. So I was able to go to the football game where they recognized the entire Hall of Fame class for that year.
Nice.
It was just a great experience. Just like, again, just having the people who you've grown up playing against or people who have been, you know, supportive of you since, you know, the early beginnings was something that I've always appreciated when I came back to Ohio, and then having to being able to share those recognitions with them is great.
Well, I'm glad that there's a lot of people behind the scenes doing amazing work for Columbus City Schools, and to bring us full circle to have a platform like this where we can offer blessings to you as well, right? So like we want to give our own level of love to you and recognition and you know this platform for you. So before we sound off, tell everybody, like, what are you doing now? What's going on? Where has your journey taken you? And let us know what's going on with Jessica Davenport right now.
So basketball is still opening up doors for me. And I always say, like, this is like one of the greatest blessings that I had was picking up that round basketball. And so right now, I'm currently working at Nike at the Nike World Headquarters.
That's all the time we have today on WCBE 90.5 FM. To hear the full show, you can find the City League Sports Podcast on Spotify, Apple, or whatever platform you prefer to listen to your favorite podcast. You can also follow us on Instagram at City League Sports 614. Until next time, I'm Dr. Vince Clarno, and thanks for listening.